Say it is good to see each and every one of you. Glad that you're here and able to be here. Brother James actually mentioned in his prayer sort of the ideal of where this lesson is, the ideal of having like the receptive heart that he mentioned. And that might not be the exact words that he used there, but the ideal of us listening to the word and being blessed to have that opportunity, and then help us to actually be willing to make that way, you know, to receive it. The title of the lesson is Laying It to Heart. Laying It to Heart. Sometimes, you know, when you're just reading through, you know, like a certain phrase will catch your attention. And that's what I was doing the other day. I was reading some in Malachi. Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 is where I got the title of the lesson. Verse 1, beginning of Malachi 2, it says, "And now, O ye priest, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it." You know, it's a warning. It's a warning about, you know, the time of the Babylonian captivity and everything. And he's telling the priests, see, the priests are supposed to be those that would be really the most faithful in the sense. They know the word. They take, instruct the people in the word. And here he says, I'm speaking to you, priests, in particular, to you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, I will send a curse upon you. You know, and then you might be thinking, okay, you know, that was just to the priest. But you know, today, we're the priests. Revelations 1:6, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Because Jesus himself is our high priest, and we are the priests. Revelations 5:10, another place it is stated, "And hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Our job today is the same in the sense as being the priest. We don't offer up those blood sacrifices, but we are a living sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 and 2 there, to be the living sacrifice. We are to teach, we are to instruct, we are to follow through in his service. And notice though, I'm going to back up, and I'll come back through this though. He says, if you will not hear and if you will not lay it to heart. And it shows that it takes those two steps really to be able to give glory unto the Lord of hosts. And he says, you know, if you're not willing to do that, then I'm going to curse you. We need to realize that could follow through onto us as well. You know, the ideal of needing to take the word of God, his commandment, and lay it to heart. So I want to take a little bit of time here and see what it takes to lay it to heart. And the first is what was already mentioned there. You got to hear. The priest had to hear what his command was, then take that command to be able to lay it to heart. So you got to hear. The problem is we can impede that, keep us from doing that because of you know, other things in our life. Matthew 13, 15, it says, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." So, you know, we first, to be able to lay anything to our heart, we got to actually be able to hear. And that's what he's talking about the children of Israel, and in particular the Jews here at this time of Christ, that they've got to the point that they don't hear the commands of God. They don't see the miracles and everything that Jesus was working, and they don't let it get to their heart so that they can have it, to lay it to heart. And you know, and we've been doing a lot of studying in this time frame in our Bible class as well as in our Sunday evening lessons, and we see this with the people. You know, Jesus is busy teaching them, but they don't hear it. They don't absorb it at all. You know, he shows them all these great and wonderful things. Yeah, they're marvelous signs. They love to see them, but it doesn't prick their heart and say, wow, you know, he is the Messiah, and they accept him. You know, all of those things, they have stopped them. That's why it says they're dull of hearing. They close their eyes unless it actually does some good. You know, so when we start talking about, you know, making sure that we've got his commands laid to heart, we first better be willing to hear. And that needs to be more than just, okay, what is Verlin telling us this morning? Let me listen to that. We need to understand the ideal of hearing is wanting to read, wanting to study, wanting to learn, wanting to get more and more of God's Word. You've got to have that desire as part of that hearing. And once you hear it, you got to be willing to accept it. You know, that's part of what we just read. You know, that's why that word lest was in there. Unless you were actually, you know, going to do something with it. Well, you know, if you are able to hear it, you're willing to hear it, you've got a desire to hear it, well, then you better be willing to accept it. This is the Word of God. This is what I need to apply to my heart. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So when it comes to laying the Word of God to heart, you know, we've actually got to accept the Word of God. The Word of God itself can do the job. We need to understand that. That's the whole point of this verse, is that if we're willing to accept it as the Word of God and let it do its job, it can pierce. It can take care of its job. It can go to our heart. But are we willing to accept it for what it is? Or we just accept it as some form of instruction? Okay, yeah, you know, we're told to do that. That's pretty good, you know, instructions. Yeah, I'll think it over. Or do we take it, this is the commands of God. He expects me to do it, and I'm going to do it. You're going to have to apply that. It's one thing to accept it as being the words of God, and it's a whole nother to make application of it. To take and say, okay, I heard it. I understand that it's the Word of God. Now, what am I going to do with it? You know, am I going to apply? Now, that's all this ideal of starting to lay it to heart, because, you know, make application of it. Hebrews 10:22, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." So this is the ideal of one that truly has accepted the Word of God and applied it. They have become obedient. They have had their sins washed away in baptism, and they have let the Word of God go deep within them. You know, we're not talking about the old ticker pumping blood when we're talking heart here. We're talking about that inner conscience, that inner mind, that inner dwelling of who we are. And that's what he's talking about. We've let his Word go in there, and we've let that Word take and cleanse their hearts. We've let it get in there. We've accepted it, and we're applying it. Romans 2 and 29 says, "But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcised is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Here, you know, there was always conflict when it come to, you know, the Word of God being spread to the Gentiles, and then the Jews still trying to hold on to the old law and the traditions of their fathers. One of their biggest conflicts was circumcision. The Lord had made it mandatory for all males under the Hebrews, you know, the Jewish people, the Hebrews, the children of Israel, all the different titles for them, all the males had to be circumcised. They were to be circumcised on the eighth day after they were born. And it was to be a sign that they were his people. Well, when Jesus died and the kingdom come into place, the Jewish people wanted to make that a mandatory stipulation as part of really being a Christian. All right, now, and you can see how they would do that. Say if a proselyte, someone had decided to become a proselyte and they were a male, then one of the things they had to do was become circumcised to be that proselyte. So they were just trying to carry that forward. Well, Paul really having to battle this and in so many ways, he's trying to tell you know, the Romans here when he writes to them, that, yeah, there is a circumcision that's necessary. All right, circumcision, simply that word means to cut around. Scission is the ideal of cutting. Circum means around. You know, that's a little bit of geometry there. You know, size, circumcision, circumference, you know, all these words means to go around. It means to cut around. So, yeah, Paul's telling them, you know, yeah, there is a circumcision that is necessary. But it's not of the physical body. It's not just for males in the physical body. It's of the individual heart. You know, you got to go in there and you got to cut all those other strings, all those other attachments, all of those things that pull the heart, you know, toward the world. You've got to cut that stuff out and you've got to let the Word of God come in and apply itself and let you take and let it rule in your life. So yeah, you know, is circumcision necessary? Yes, but not of the body, but of the heart. And then it talks about then you're going to take and praise God, not men. You know, that was a thing for men. That wasn't a thing for God. Circumcision of the heart is for God and His glory. If we go all the way back to the priest, you know, if you're not willing to hear, you're not willing to lay it to heart, you are taking the glory from God. Same thing here. If you're not willing to let it get to your heart, you're not giving God the glory. You know, you're maybe giving men glory, but you're not giving the glory to the Lord. Laying it to heart, though, really means making it a part of you. And now you're thinking, well, that doesn't applying it, you know, make it a part of you. No, I don't think so. I think there's a big separation between that. I think that that's a huge chunk between those that are young in the faith and those that are mature in the faith. There is a difference there. You know, a babe in Christ is one that the Scripture talks about that would have heard the Word, would have accepted, and started applying it. But the ideal of one that has truly let that Word change them, you know, guide them from now on, you know, every part of who they are is determined on serving the Lord, that's a mature child of God. That's a faithful, mature child of God. There is a big difference between just that application and then letting the Word truly become who you are. And like I said, there's a big difference in that. And that laying it to heart, that's what that's talking about there. That's talking about letting it get in and letting it work on you and letting it change you so that you are what you must be. Psalms 15:2. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Notice the actions. You know, it's talking about the truth that's in his heart. The one that's let that happen, that's let the Word of God get in there and make some differences, he walks in an upright manner. And that's not talking about, okay, Verlin's up there walking like this and a monkey walks on his knuckles. That's not the upright it's talking about. It's talking about in a righteous manner. I go about my life living a righteous way. You know, people should be able to look at me and say, that guy's different than everybody else in the world. That guy is trying to do what's right. That is walking uprightly. And worketh righteousness, the ideal of actually putting forth the effort to do the right things in this life. Now that doesn't mean that we're perfect. We talked about that word perfect a couple weeks ago. It doesn't mean we're perfect in all aspects of our life, but it does mean that we've let the Word get into our heart and we're doing everything possible to live it. We're letting it change us so we can change others. And that's where the speaking the truth comes in. The actual spreading the gospel, teaching others the Word of God. It does you no good to teach others the Word of God if they look right back at you and they see that you're not living it yourself. You got to understand that. You know, over in the school, when I was teaching, you know, in the classroom, I had other students that knew me from years before and some that I tutored after school. And there was a new teacher come in. And he should have never been a math teacher, but it was an open position and family and knew somebody, that kind of thing. And so they got him a job so he would have a job for the year. All right, they put him teaching geometry. He couldn't teach basic math. Geometry is a whole nother level above basic math with all the, you know, the way things work together and so forth. Well, some of his students would come over and they're like, Mr. Cox, he tells us, but he doesn't even know it. He can't explain why it happens. He just said, well, that's what the book says. And, you know, and to them, they're like, I have no desire to learn it. I have no need to learn it. If he don't even know, he's a math teacher, he's teaching geometry, and he don't even know why it happens, then why should I care anything about it? And it meant nothing to him. Absolutely nothing to his students at all. And then mine, I would try to show them all these different ways that it applied, and I would actually have them doing things in the real world to get them. And it meant something to them because it knew it, you know, I knew what I was talking about. Same thing when it's talking about when we're a child of God and we're trying to teach somebody the Word of God, but then they look at you and you're like, yeah, well, are you really living it? Your actions don't really show it. Your words don't really show it. You know, the time that you put into service to God, that really doesn't show it. Does it do you any good to teach them? Because they're going to say, well, it's no good to learn it. If you're not living it, then why should I accept it? It's not laid to the heart. It's not made a change in you. Psalms 37 and 31. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. See, the individual that truly lets the law get in the heart, you know, become a part of you, it's going to guide you. It's going to direct you. And it's going to be able to be seen by others that it's doing that. Psalms 86 and 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. See, that's an individual right there that's got such a great desire to let the word of God become a part of him. Lord, unite my heart to fear thy name. You know, let it come in. Let it change me. Let it direct me. Let it make me be what you want me to be. You know, teach me thy ways and I will walk in it. That's the one that's laying it to heart. Psalms 119 and 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. With my whole heart, everything that I am, I have sought thee out. That's the individual that's laying it to heart. They've heard it, they've accepted it, they're applying it, and they're letting it change them. And the more that you let it change you, the more you'll want it. Sometimes, though, when we start talking about the Word of God, His commandments, it is heard, it is accepted as the Word of God. Some application is made, and I would have to say it's more like laying it over the heart instead of laying it to the heart. You know, making it a part of who you are, you just sort of drape it over the top. You know, it's an outward show of acceptance. It's not really a changing of who you are acceptance. It's just this facade. It's a fake covering over top of the heart. And that happens way too often. Psalms 10 and verse 13. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Contempt means to treat or regard with contempt. So the individual would have contempt toward God because he said within himself, in his heart, you know, the Lord's really not going to require it. That's going to be that individual that says, okay, here's the word of God. He said don't do this, or he says to do this, you know, and yeah, you know, I just take it as is, and you know, I don't think he'll really hold me to that. You know, the Lord's the Lord of love. Is he really going to be strict and throw me into hell because I don't do those things, because I'm not as faithful as I should be in these things? Well, it says that if you've got that attitude, that you really treat and regard the Lord with contempt. You don't take him serious. You don't have that healthy fear of him. You don't have respect and dignity and honor unto him because you don't even think he's serious about what he's told you to do. That's just laying it over the top. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Too often the individuals that's got this draped over the top, and I think maybe all of us have been there at some point in our life where we just sort of pile things over the top and we don't let it change us. And usually the reason is something else is inside our heart and we can't let the rest of that in because we're not willing to empty out what's already in there. And it doesn't matter what that treasure is. I mean, wealth and riches, you know, hobbies, whatever. I mean, it's just whatever is a greater priority. We're not willing to let that be pushed out to let the good stuff in. And I think we've all been there at some time in our life. We're not really laying it to heart, though, if we're letting something else abide there and not be pushed out for it. Let's do a little comparison here. The ideal of laying it to or laying over it. You know, some things that demonstrate one versus the other. And some of these have a little overlap, but the first thing would have to be commitment. Commitment to God in every way possible. Commitment in your learning, commitment in your service, commitment in your decision making, just commitment and removing things that you see as wrong in life and adding in things that you know that need to be added in, but commitment, true commitment. I have to think, and some of you might get upset with me, but I think it needs said. But commitment is also seen when it comes to attendance to service. You know, and I know sometime back some got mad with me because I brought it up too often. And I made the point then, if it wasn't a problem, it wouldn't need spoke on. Sunday we had 25. We had some away and different things, some sick. But Sunday night we had 13. That's half, or close to half. You know, 12.5 would be half. Maybe somebody was here in body, but their mind was somebody else, somewhere else. We lost half the people of this congregation, you know, Sunday. Half. Might be some good reasons for that. You know, I'm not going to be the judge of that, but I have to really, really, you know, think. Half. That also brings up priorities. You know, when you start thinking, what else is better? What else could take that time? You know, we used to have that Sunday morning Bible class. You know, we've had to cut that out for the extended amount of time we're supposed to be together and so forth. We had that Sunday morning Bible class. So many wouldn't come. And I wonder, you know, what's so important that you can't come to Bible class? You come to worship. You know, you're already driving. You're burning the gas to get here. You know, why can't you come and study and learn? Why can't you make it? Well, what's the problem? It's not a priority to get on up and get here. But we'll get up at 5:30, 6 in the morning to go to work, or to go to Hardee's and get a biscuit to beat the rush, you know, or maybe go to Walmart before it gets too busy. You know, they had that nice little open extra time at Publix so that the elderly could take and go get their groceries ahead of everybody else. Everybody, you know, you go there in that morning, boy, it's flooded with people at Publix that extra hour early. Why can't we get up an hour early and come to services? It's a priority. You know, how about Wednesday nights and other things? Is it a priority? You know, not only that, how about you studying and you're reading and you're praying? You know, all of these things. Is it a priority? If it is, you're laying it to heart. If it's not, you're just draping over top of it. Definitely that desire to learn more. I mean, you know, like I said, these overlap, like missing Bible classes. That shows a lack of desire to learn. I don't want to know anymore. I don't want to sit here and learn. I don't want any more of God's Word. You know, I get, you can tell I'm a little aggravated because it's the same thing I deal with when teaching math. All right, you'll have a student say, I don't like math. You know, and then their parents are like, Mr. Cox, you need to help them. And you try to help them, and you'll spend hours of your time in the week tutoring. And then you get the next phone call. They've got another appointment set up. They don't have any notes that they've took the entire time you've worked with them the whole week. Oh, well, I didn't really think I needed to write anything down. It doesn't mean anything to you. Don't tell me you can't do it because you don't care to do it. Same thing when it comes to serving the Lord. You can't say, I love the Lord. I love His work. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. And then you don't do it. And you don't work at it. You don't have a desire for it. There is no difference in that. It really keeps you from being obedient. The one that is truly obedient to the Lord has laid it to heart. The ones that are not are just going to drape it over it. In conclusion, the Lord expects us to lay His Word to heart. I have no doubt about that. He was serious to the priest. He's serious during the time that He preached it. You know, I have no doubt that He expects that of us. For us to say, nah, you know, He's not going to be that strict, that goes back to us holding God with contempt, a disregard of actually who He even is. He has told us His Word. He expects us to make it a part of our lives, and He is going to hold us accountable for it. This really means that we've got to hear it. If you don't put the time into studying your own self, you don't put the time into coming to Bible classes, how do you hear it? How do you learn it? And without hearing it and learning it, you can't obey it. You know, it says that at one time God winked at ignorance. But not anymore. Why? Because it's so readily available. He's not going to say, oh, well, I'm sorry you never got to that. Or you never heard that. You know what I think He's going to say? I'm sorry that you never tried to hear it. It's on you still, because it was there. You know, brother so-and-so, he brought quite a few lessons on it, but you just didn't show up. And without obeying it, there's no way you make it a part of who you are. You know, there's always outward proof that we're doing just that, laying it to the heart. It is seen on the outside. Our study, our knowledge, our attendance, our effort in His work they're all indicators, that outward proof. Are you laying his word to your heart or just over your heart? I'll leave you with that this morning. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you're in that position of hearing and sort of fighting on that ideal of acceptance and application. You really haven't got to the point of truly letting it, you know, get into your heart and change you yet. You're still in that decision. Is it really the word of God? Am I willing to make that commitment? Am I going to serve him the rest of my life? But if you're really, really willing to make that decision, then do that. Make that decision. Don't put it off. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel, though, but you're just drifting away from it. Take and fix it while you have time and opportunity. If there's anything we can do to help this morning, we're happy to. If you'll come forward as we stand and sing. Why do you